वासुदेवाय। हरि बोल। सो हू डिड आई कन्वे द श्लोक टुडे? आई सेड 1123। एनीवे एनी वर्स इज फाइन, सो वी विल डिस्कस इट एंड इट्स ऑल राइट ऑल्सो। दिस इज नाइस वर्स बिकॉज आई थॉट 23 बिकॉज 23 इज द लास्ट वर्स। एनीवे वी कैन डू बोथ द वर्सेस टुडे। श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर टेक्स्ट 20। कृतवान् कीला कर्माणि कृतवान् कीला कर्माणि So you got the whole line? Everyone? Say it. Very good. Saha Ramena Keshava Saha Ramena Keshava Got it? So now both the lines together. Very good. Very good. You all are brilliant. Atimartani Bhagavan अतिमर्तानि भगवान् गूढः कपटमानुषः गूढः कपटमानुषः Both the lines together. I hope you're not looking at the board. Okay, now the entire line, entire verse. So some got, some did not. Okay, once again. Very good. So, did the word for word. Kritaban means done by. Kila. What? Karmani, acts. Saha, along with. Ramena, Balaram. Keshavaha, Shri Krishna. Atimartani, superhuman. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Gudhaha, masked as. Kapata, apparently. Manusaha, human being. Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masks. He performed many superhuman acts. Please repeat after me. Lord Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. So everyone got the meaning? Okay. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The doctrines of anthropomorphism and zoomorphism are never applicable to Sri Krishna. So anthropomorphism, who knows the meaning of that word? Okay. Okay, related to human welfare activities. Isn't it just related to just human being? Madhavendra? No, anthropomorphy is related to human being, and zoomorphy, what is the meaning of the zoomorphism? Animals, yeah. So human, related to human beings and related to animals. Anthropomorphism and zoomorphism, and like this, anthropomorphism and zoomorphism never applies to Krishna. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Had he been a human being or had he been a living entity, like zoomorphism, like any living entity, not only animals, any living entity, like zoology, anthropology. So, are never applicable to Krishna or the Personality of Godhead. The theory that a man becomes God, the theory that a man becomes God by dint of penance and austerities is very much rampant nowadays, especially in India. Yoga practice karoge, Bhagwan ban jaoge. Humko paisa do, main tumko mantra dunga, aur mantra jap ke tum Bhagwan ban jaoge. Right? Chalta hai aisa? Not only in... Anyway, what I meant is, Prabhupada said, is very common in India. Like what people are, some people, some cheaters, are saying, come to me, I'll teach you practice. By practicing yoga, you'll become God. Is it happening? Yeah. Or, come to me, I'll give you the mantra. And by the chanting the mantra, you'll become God. But for the mantra, you have to give me money. Each mantra, $50. It's a very cheap way of becoming God. Prabhupada used to criticize that. Actually, there were some societies, they were selling mantras like that. Like they call themselves, they call their process transcendental meditation, transcendental fleecing activity, transcendental cheating. Since Lord Ram, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were detected by the sages and saints to be the personality of Godhead, as indicated in revealed scriptures, many unscrupulous men have created their own incarnations. How many Bhagavans are present in this planet right now? Did anyone take the statistics? Many. And many of them are ending up in the prison nowadays. The process of concocting an incarnation of God has become an ordinary business, especially in Bengal. special in Bengal. Any popular personality with a few traits of mystic powers will display some feat of jugglery and easily become an incarnation of Godhead by popular vote. Well, when Prabhupada wrote it, this business was very common in Bengal, but now it has become very common all over India, especially in South India. And all over India, actually. One God became very popular nowadays. He's gone now. The God is dead now. Any popular personality with a few traits of mystic powers will display some feat of jugglery and easily become an incarnation of Godhead by popular vote. Lord Sri Krishna was not that type of incarnation. He was actually the personality of Godhead from the very beginning of his appearance. He appeared before his so-called mother as four-armed Vishnu. Then at the request of the mother, he became like a human child and at once left her for another devotee at Gokul, where he was accepted as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. Similarly, Sri Baladev, the counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna, was also considered a human child born of another wife of Sri Vasudev. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his birth and deeds are transcendental, and that anyone who is so fortunate as to know the transcendental nature of his birth and deeds will at once become liberated and eligible to return to the kingdom of God. So knowledge of the transcendental nature of the birth and deeds of Lord Sri Krishna is sufficient for liberation. In the Bhagavatam, the transcendental nature of the Lord is described in 9 cantos. In the 10th canto, his specific pastimes are taken up. All these became known as one's reading of the literature progresses. It is important to note here, however, that the Lord exhibited his divinity even from the lap of his mother, that his deeds are all superhuman. He lifted Govardhan Hill at the age of 7, and that all these acts definitely prove him to be actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, due to his mystic covering, he was always accepted as an ordinary human child by his so-called father and mother and other relatives. Whenever some Herculean task was performed by him, the father and mother took it otherwise, and they remained satisfied with unflinching filial love for their son. As such, the sages of Naimisharanya described him as apparently resembling a human being, but actually he is the Supreme Almighty Personality of Godhead. So here the sages in Naimisharanya is asking Srila Suta Goswami. And Shaunaka Rishi is asking. Shaunaka Rishi, representing all the 60,000 sages. It's not possible for 60,000 sages to ask questions at the same time. So this is again another aspect of Vedic culture. They represent one person to be their mouthpiece and speak on their behalf. That's what we also used to do during Prabhupada's time. Like, like the senior devotees have a meeting, and their spokesman, one person, they would select, that he would come and the whole group will come, but one person will speak to Srila Prabhupada. Isn't that a very nice way of praying? conducting the. So here Shaunaka Rishi was the spokesman for 60,000 sages in Naimisharanya, and who they're asking the questions to? They're asking the questions to Srila Suta Goswami. Do you remember Srila Suta Goswami's qualifications? How many of you remember Suta Goswami's questions? Memorized? Who did memorize? You memorized this Suta Goswami's qualification? That we consulted the other day. How many of you remember? I'll give you the first word. The secret of remembering the verse is the first word of the first line. Okay, the first word of the first line is Taya. Taya, then? Okay, so very good. And then, go ahead. Radhapad? Akhattani? Padhitani? Dharma Shastrani? Jannuta. So this is the, you have mastered all these subjects very nicely. Purana, Itihasa, Puran Taya Khalu Pode Puranani, Setihasani, Chanagha. And Chanagha means Cha, it's a combination of two words. Cha and Anagha. Cha means also or and. And Anagha means sinless. Agha means sin, like Aghasura. Aghasura. The sin demon. Agha, Anagha. An, the word an, the prefix an, nullifies. That means no. An means no. Sa means with. Like Anagha means no sin, sinless. So this is another qualification of Srila Suta Goswami. Anchanagha, dharma akkhatanna padhitani, dharma shastrani chanita. You have studied all these scriptures and dharma shastra under the guidance of qualified teachers. That is the qualification. So also other qualifications are also mentioned, but this is the main thing that we just considered to remember the other day. And so they are asking, so here Shaunaka Rishi is asking that Kritavan Kila Karmani Saharamena Keshava. Keshava, along Saharamena, Saharamena means along with. Saharamena Keshava. Kritavan Kila Karmani Saharamena Keshava. And Atimartani, how was this activities? Atimartani, superhuman. Superhuman activities. Gurha Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Gurha Kapata Manusa. Appearing to be like a human being. Now here we also can consider that it is not that the Lord is acting like a human being or appearing to be like a human being. The consideration is the other way around. Man has been created according to the image of God. Not that God became human being. God's form is like two-armed. The original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is two-armed. Not four-armed, like Vishnu or Narayan. Not eight-armed, like sometimes the Lord appears with eight arms. Sometimes he appears with thousands of arms, thousands of heads. Vishwarup of the Lord, the universal form of the Lord. Even Mahavishnu's form also, with thousands of heads, thousands of arms. But these are not the original form of the Lord. The actual form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, he is two-armed and he resides in Vrindavan. Aradhya Bhagavan Brojesho Tanay Stad Dhamo Vrindavanam. His dham, his abode is Vrindavan. So that is the ultimate understanding. So now we can say the Lord is two-armed originally. And he gave us this form that looks identical to his. Only difference is our form is made of matter and his form is spiritual. Our forms are made with five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and his form is made of three transcendental elements, namely Sat, Chit, Ananda. Ishwaraha Paramah Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindaha Sarvakarana Karanam. So, Gudha Kapata Manusa. So, he is asking, what did Krishna do? When he appeared with Balaram, assuming a form that looks like a human being's. So, okay. And then I'll just briefly go through the next three verses and end this chapter, because today our seminar is ending, so we'll also end the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kalim agatam agaya kshetre asmin vaishnave bayam Asinang dirghasatrena kathayang sakshana hare. Knowing well that the age of Kali has already began, we are assembled here in the holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead and in this way perform sacrifice. So here an interesting thing to note is Vaishnave Bayam. Vaishnave Vayam. So all these 60,000 sages that assembled there in Naimisharanya were Vaishnavas. There are various different sects. And there are two things: Vaishnavas and Shaktas. Prior to that, there is another consideration: impersonalist, personalist. Those who think that God doesn't have any form, that's one class. God doesn't have any form. They are known as impersonalists or nirakarvadis. And those who consider the Lord as a form, they are sakarvadi. Lord has a form. So those who have sakarvadi, they have also two sects. One is Vaishnavas, other is Shaktas. The Vaishnavas worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Shaktas worship the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Durga, Kali, they are the Jogamaya, or Mahamaya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Kalim Agatam Agyaya, Agya Kalim Agatam, understanding that Kali has already come, Kali Yuga has already began. Khetre Asmin Vaishnave Bayam, we the Vaishnavas have assembled here in this place, Kshetre, Naimisharanya Kshetre, Naimita, in Naimisharanya. Asina Dirgha Satrena, Dirgha Satrena, long, a very extensive sacrifice, very sacrifice with a long duration. Asina, we have seated here, we have assembled here to perform a very long sacrifice, Dirgha Satrena. Satra means sacrifice. And Satrena means by the sacrifice. In Sanskrit, that's called Tritiya Vibhakti. Asina Dirgha Satrena Kathayang Shakshana Hare. In order to listen to the activities of Sri Hari. So the next verse is Tvang na sandarshito dhatra dustaram nistiti shatam kuling sattaharam pungshan karnadhara ivarnavam. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all good qualities of a human being. So here Suta Goswami has been compared to a boat. Like riding on his instructions, one can cross the ocean of this dangerous ocean of Kali. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as the captain of the ship. Not the ship, but the captain of the ship, for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. That is the characteristic of the age of Kali. People lose all good qualities. They have become very, very unfortunate, losing all their good qualities. The good qualities are austerity, mercy, cleanliness, and truthfulness. But in the Kali Yuga, what is happening? People practically lost all these good qualities. Only the ISKCON devotees are cultivating these good qualities by not indulging in these four sinful activities. What are the four sinful activities? Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So, is anyone practicing these activities outside of ISKCON? No. Is there any emphasis on these activities? Does anybody say, don't eat meat? Does anybody say, don't take intoxication? On the other hand, that is being broadcasted to everyone. Look at big, big hoardings. All this publicity, all these advertisements, what are they saying? They are just promoting these four activities. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. But ISKCON is saying no to all these four. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. So this is how we can say that only in ISKCON today people are cultivating these good qualities, which otherwise has been lost in this world due to the influence of Kali. Okay, now we'll go to the last verse. Bruhi Jogeshare Krishne ब्रह्मणे धर्म वर्मणि श्वां काष्टाम अधुन अपेते धर्म कां शरणंगता धर्म कं शरणंगता ब्रूहि. ओके, लेट्स कंसीडर द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस वर्ड. ब्रूहि मीन्स प्लीज टेल. योग ईश्वरे द लॉर्ड ऑफ द मिस्टिक पावर. योग इज मिस्टिक पावर एंड ईश्वरे द लॉर्ड ऑफ द मिस्टिक पावर्स. ब्रूहि योगेश्वरे कृष्णे ब्रह्मणे द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ धर्म वर्मणि द प्रोटेक्टर ऑफ रिलीजियन स्वाम काष्ठाम अधुना उपेते. स्वाम ओन काष्ठाम मीन्स अबोड, अधुना मीन्स नाउ, उपेते हैविंग गॉन अवे, धर्म रिलीजियन कम अंटू हुम शरणं शेल्टर गतः. Since Krishna, the absolute truth, the master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. Now that Krishna has left for the spiritual sky, whose shelter dharma has taken. Dharma kaan sharanangata. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, especially religion is the prescribed codes of enunciated by the personality of Godhead. What is the meaning of dharma, which is translated in English as religion? Dharma is the laws given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharmam tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Pranitam, it has been given, it has been compiled, it has been presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Essentially, religion is the prescribed codes enunciated by the Personality of Godhead Himself. Whenever there is gross misuse or neglect of the principles of religion, the Supreme Lord appears Himself to restore religious principles. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. So whenever there is a decline of religious principles, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes and He re-establishes religion. Which verse confirms that? Yada yada hi dharmasya. Very good. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Here the sages of Naimisharanya are inquiring about these principles. The reply to this question is given later. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the question was, dharma kang sharanangata, whose shelter? Now that Krishna has left for his abode, Krishna performed his pastimes, and now that he has left, whose shelter dharma has taken? And the answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. Because following Srimad Bhagavatam, one naturally practices dharma, or Srimad Bhagavatam is the representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental sound representation of the personality of Godhead, and thus it is the full representation of transcendental knowledge and religious principles. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Questions by the Sages. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I heard Srila Prabhupada last, and that Srila Prabhupada said first two verses of Srimad Bhagavatam is also Gayatri.
Well, mainly the first verse, because, yeah. The first verse is actually the representation of Gayatri, because it is from the from the Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra. So that indicates that this Vedanta Sutra, this Srimad Bhagavatam, is the explanation or elaboration of Vedanta Sutra. But Gayatri it is, because Gayatri has three aspects: Vij, Nam and Nyas. So this verse, Janmadasya Vijataha, is beginning with Om. That's the Vij. Then Nyas is the personality who the Gayatri mantra is indicating. And Nyas is how it is meditating. That is Sattang Parang Dhimahi. So that is why it is considered to be Gayatri. The first one, not the second one.
Thank you very much.
Any other question? Yes. Give it to him.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How do you see the connection between Brahma Samhita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam?
Because Brahma Samhita is giving the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it's not saying that it is Srimad Bhagavatam. Any other question? Oh, I have some questions from the internet. Shyam Bihari Das, Gurgaon. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. My question is Vrindadevi as Tulsi plant one of the 8,400,000 species, or 8.4 million species? No, Vrindadevi is not a jiva tattva. These 8,400,000 species are jivas in the different types of bodies, material bodies. Vrindadevi's appearance is not a material appearance. She is Krishna's Shakti. Srimati Radhika Devi Dasi from Hyderabad. Dear most Gurudev, please accept my most humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to your holiness. Guru Maharaj, what is meant by relevant questions? What are the general principles to follow while asking a question? Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for all your mercy. Relevant means that is relative to the main topic of consideration. Like, say, for example, when you go to a shop to buy something, and you ask the shopkeeper, what's the price of this? It's a relevant question. Or when you are going to take a flight and you are questioning whether there is fog and the flight will take off in time. That's a relevant question. An irrelevant question is, nice weather, yeah? Or how is the weather in London? Or did you take your breakfast? So these are not really that relevant, not meaningful questions. So that is the relevant question. And relevant question in another way can be considered the sincere inquiries. Like the qualification of a sincere student is, what does he do? Tadbiddhi pranipatena pariprashnena. Pariprashnena, sincere inquiries. So, sincere inquiries means pertaining to my spiritual advancement. We are in here for spiritual. Like, for example, you are sitting in the physics class, and if you ask the teacher, who wrote Macbeth? Will it be pertaining to the topic that is being discussed in that class? No. But if you ask in that question, in that class, what is the atomic weight of uranium? That will be a relevant question. So pertaining to the topic. So that is a relevant question, and the sincere questions are the general principles of asking a sincere question is, what you are asking should be the burning issue in your mind. If you listen to the class and if something you didn't understand, you ask questions about that in order to clarify the point. Radhapad Das from questions from yesterday's class. Radhapad is asking. It's not from internet, he's from very much in our within net. Dandavat Pranam Guru Maharaj. If Jarasandha had 23 Akshayani army, while Mahabharat war had 18 Akshayani face on earth, then why is Mahabharat known as the greatest war ever? Yeah, because in that war all the kings have assembled. Every king participated in that battle. That's why. The number is diminished because through Jarasandha's agency Krishna wiped out most of the demons. Right? Because that took place, you see, after, after the annihilation by Krishna had been taken care of quite considerably. So whoever is left, and that was the final, final touch. From Arpit Agarwal, Bhopal. Where is Arpit? Is he here? Okay. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Question, how do people of other religion or faith understand Krishna consciousness, as they may say that their God is the ultimate truth, and therefore their message and preaching, their religion is what's the last one? Is, O is supreme. Okay. Okay, so how many gods are there? The supreme personality of Godhead, how many? One. So does it mean that different religions have different gods? Or all the religions are speaking about the same God? So when that understanding is clear, there is no problem. But when people come up, this is my God, that's your God. My God is greater than your God. I think in that respect there is an incident or anecdote in the Old Testament. Anyway, I forgot whether it was Abraham or... So, those days, I mean, the personality was worshipping many gods. So one day he came home and he found that all the god, all those murtis were broken. Only one is standing. So he asked his son, who did this? He suspected that his son did that. He said that the big one got rid of the rest of them. Quite a relevant answer, because the biggest one is the ultimate one. So let's find out. And the problem with most of the religions is today, they speak about God but they don't give any information about Him. Like Christianity speaks about God the Father, but what He looks like, is there any description? Where does God the Father live? Any description? What does God the Father do? Any description? No. Islam says Allah, God, He is existing, He is the greatest. But don't think about Him. Right? So, you know, how can you properly understand when there is no information about Him? Whereas when you come to Srimad Bhagavatam, you get complete understanding. Just like Prabhupada said once, Prabhupada was being interviewed by some reporters in New York. And they were asking questions. So, and to in response to their question, Prabhupada said, if you want to know God, come to me. I can tell you what He looks like, where He stays, what His name is, what He does, and I can even give you His telephone number. So that's it. How God looks like. Then somebody questioned, I think, I don't know from which background he was, like, questioned Srila Prabhupada, that is your God. That is your God. Then Prabhupada's response was, that okay, He is my God and I'm telling you what He looks like, what He does, where He stays. What about your information about your God? Do you have any information about your God? If you don't, then shut up and accept. If you want to know God and if you don't have any information about Him, come to me, I'll give you the information. That's the difference. But the problem is, they don't want to hear. They just don't want to hear. I say, come on, let's sit down and let's discuss. Enrich us with your information and become enriched by my information. But they don't want to do that. But those who do, they benefit and they accept. And that's why in our society, there are individuals from different backgrounds. It's not only that the Hindus are joining ISKCON. When Prabhupada was in America, ISKCON was actually consisting of all the Christians and Jews and even Muslims. And incidentally, most of ISKCON members those days were Jews. That reminds me. Like once, you know, in New York, there was a famous electronic shop called 47th Street Photo. 47th Street Photo Shop. And we used to go there sometimes to buy some electronic goods. And it was a Jewish run shop. It was a Jewish shop. You know, and Hasidic Jews, you know, like very Orthodox Jews. And so, you know, like the person and the salesperson looks at me and he says, "Oh, what a relief to see a non-Jewish Hare Krishna." And of course I had a nice talk with him. I told him, you know why the Jews are joining Hare Krishna? Because this Hare Krishna movement is meant for intelligent class of people, and the Jews are very intelligent. Okay. Question. We see that Radharani was in complete devotion to Krishna, so much so that she left her husband for Krishna. Does that not give a wrong message in terms of marital and social ethics? Okay, how many men are married here? Please raise your hands. If your wife becomes attracted to Krishna, do you mind? The husband feels that their wives have chosen the perfect path when they take to Krishna consciousness. Am I wrong? All the husbands, only one response I got. So when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, that's the perfection. Like when the husband sees that his wife has become a devotee of Krishna, she feels happy about it. Because the relationship with Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. So, Jamuna Priya Devi Dasi, why aren't you taking the microphone and asking the question? Okay, it's alright. Dearest Guru Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for stressing the importance of how an order a few mornings ago of law and order a few mornings ago. Okay, thank you for stressing the importance of law and order a few mornings ago. Could you please explain the role of compassion and law, that is punishment, when someone does something questionable? Because it seems that sometimes senior devotees, out of the kindness of their heart, do not seem to give justified and appropriate punishment. This then sometimes leads others to break the law, which causes continued disturbance. After all, Mother Yashoda punished Krishna in Damodar Leela, as you kindly explained. Thank you for clearing my doubt. I haven't done that as yet. You see, when you're discussing about that, I mentioned law or an order. If you want to have order, you have to have the law. And breaking the law is crime. and it must meet with punishment, crime and punishment. If there is crime and there is no punishment, then nobody will hesitate, nobody will bother to follow the law. Right? And you remember, like I gave a couple of examples. I think I gave two examples. One example was the law in Afghanistan that English reporter, journalist was describing. He was in Afghanistan and his Afghan friend was still, well, speaking to him, he just mentioned that no more questions, yeah, because it's don't take any more. So his friend, Afghan friend, told him that in Afghanistan, when somebody steals, his right hand is chopped off. And he was shocked to hear that. He said, wow, I mean, it's such a terrible kind of law. And then his friend told him that you've been in Afghanistan for so long, have you seen anyone without a right hand? That means when the law is so strict, no one will break the law. Because when the punishment is there, and the other example I gave was Singapore. Mm. If anyone is found there, if anyone is caught with an illegal arms, illegal weapon, then he is sentenced to death. If anyone is found with contraband stuffs like hashish or drugs, intoxicants, illegal intoxicants, he's sentenced to death. And they're so strict about that. Like I think about few years, 5-6 years or maybe even earlier, two Australian girls were caught with drugs and they were sentenced to death. And practically the appeal came from all over the world. Even the governments were pushing the Singapore government. They didn't budge. So then what happens? Nobody uses drugs there. Nobody takes intoxicants. I mean, that kind of illegal drugs. And nobody carries illegal weapons. And it's a very, very peaceful state. On the other hand, you look at some place where there is no law and order, and there is total chaos, total anarchy. Yes, Radharani, take the mic.
Maharaj, is it true that when the punishment is according to Vedic injunction, that the person doesn't suffer the karmic reaction for the criminal act?
Yeah, yeah. Because that actually frees him from the sinful or the crime, the sin. So that his next life, he won't have to bear the consequence of that. Like, in next life he is free for that. Yes, very good. Yeah, a few more questions here. There's one from internet. Vibhav Krishna Das, Pune. Hare Krishna Maharaj, PAMHO, AGTSP. Thanks for your wonderful class. You very nicely brought out the qualities of a hearer. But most of the time, I hear the class based on who the speaker is. How can one get rid of this mentality and relish Srimad Bhagavatam irrespective of the speaker? Well, the speaker plays a big role in that. Like, not that, you know, like those who are sitting to give the class have to be qualified and have to be prepared. I have seen sometimes individuals sit on a class without even prepare any preparation, they don't have any understanding. They start giving the class and It used to happen, like, I mean, here's a lot of complaint about that also in the, before, that they would sit in a Bhagavatam class and push the devotees to distribute books. The whole class is, the thing is, you know, the leaders were so much caught up with the consideration of distributing books, practically all the classes were based not on the Bhagavatam topics, but on distribution of books. So that may not interest or excite devotees to sit and listen to the class often. My thing, or say somebody sits on a Bhagavatam class and starts to talk about the temple management. It happens, it's nothing, it happens. No, Bhagavatam class should be centered around Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, you know, I can give a simple example. Like if you go to the physics class, and if the teacher starts to speak about Casanova, how will you feel? Like, or what his wife cooked for him that morning? Like, will you be interested in that class? I mean, if you're a sincere student of physics. So, like, the classes should be relevant to the topic. Bhagavatam class should be based on that, and that, when that is there, people develop interest. Or often, sometimes, you know, individuals, you know, not really that educated, sits in a Bhagavatam class, you know, gives a class, naturally no one will be interested to hear him. The classes should be properly presented. The speaker should be qualified. That's a simple consideration. Mukunda Murari Das. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, kindly accept my most humble obeisances at the Dasya Philotus. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Guru Maharaj, yesterday morning you mentioned the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam and that we should read and hear Bhagavatam at all times, and the day before yesterday you mentioned about the glories of the holy name of Krishna. My question is, which of the two is more beneficial and attempted even by neophytes? Your humble servant, Mukunda Murari Das. Well, chant 16 rounds and then read Srimad Bhagavatam. But do both the things. Chant your 16 rounds and read Bhagavatam as well. Not that at the expense of your chanting you read Bhagavatam, or at the expense of reading Bhagavatam you chant your rounds. Right? Both are important. Like, for example, eating is important, sleeping is important. Right? Do you exchange one to the other? Okay, today I won't sleep, but I'll eat. Sometimes you may consider, but both are important. You have to do both the thing. If your stomach is full, you may say, I don't want to eat, I want to sleep. But not at the cost of the other. Kirti Kumari Dasi. Okay, I'll just go straight to him. My question is, in relation to the verse from Bhagavad Gita you quoted, wherein Krishna says that whenever there is a decline of religion, dharma, he comes to protect his devotees, annihilate the demons and establish dharma. Can we say that in this specific age of Kali, in which Mahaprabhu appeared on earth, Krishna didn't really come to annihilate the demons, but rather the opposite, Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate? Or is it that Kalki is going to appear at the end of Kali Yuga to fulfill the purpose of annihilation of the demons? Yes. In this, now there is no killing. the demons, but transforming the demons into devotees. And we can see many of us have already fallen into that category. But yes, at the end of Kali, Kali Yuga, Kalki Avatar will come, and he will annihilate and get rid of all the miscreants and re-establish Satya Yuga. Another one, Kirti Kumari. Is there any significance as for Krishna first leaving the body of Aghasura and only after that Aghasura's soul? Is there any significance as for Krishna first leaving the body of Aghasura and only after that Aghasura's soul? Where is Kirti Kumari? What do you mean? Take the microphone.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, I meant yesterday, I think it was yesterday, you were describing that when Aghasura swallowed Krishna and then Krishna expanded himself, and you were emphasizing that Krishna actually first left Aghasura's body and then only the soul could come out. Because Okay, then I misunderstood.
Aghasura's soul left his body. It was hovering in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Krishna came out of his body, then he entered, that soul entered into Krishna's body.
Oh, okay, I understand. Thank you.
Next question, was Lord Brahma under the influence of Yogamaya that he could not recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Didn't Lord Brahma have darshan of Krishna just prior to the task given to him to fill the universe with living entities? Yes, it's due to Yogamaya's arrangement, because Brahma practically sees Krishna every day. The person that you meet every day, can you mistake him? So we have to understand these are the arrangements of Yogamaya to enhance Krishna's pastimes. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.